What's up, everybody? This is your host, Miss Chris. You're tuning in from CKUT Ask Miss Chris 90.3 FM. I have a special guest. I told you guys about it. I am exhilarated. I have a feeling about this guest, and you're going to love her. She's a Montreal icon. I always tell people she's kind of like an Azealia Banks-esque figure here because we know she's from here. We know she has ties to the city. The girls run these streets. Right in front of me, sitting lovely with a nice little Telfar hug collection bag. With a nice little gender unit is the one and only Star Amira Suhani. Make some fucking noise from your car, from your house. Let's go, Star. Introduce yourself.
Bonjour, hi. Je m'appelle Étoile. But my friends call me Star. And I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, Miss Chris.
How does it feel to be in town?
I love it. Yeah. I love being back here. I always, you know, say to my friends, and like going to Montreal is like getting a nice warm hug.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. And how long are you here for?
I'm here until Tuesday.
And I heard you're performing also this weekend.
Yes, at Outrageous. Ooh. At Unity Club, is that what it's called?
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Outrageous. By Miss T.S. Mossy Mugler.
The one and only. About Outrageous, everybody, I got some information from Mossy Mugler herself. There's only 3 tickets left. She might be adding some more. You got to stay tuned. You got to pay attention. You got to spend the money.
Yeah.
And on that note,
your coins, babies.
Get your coins. But talking about coins, I have another little fun I'm asking for you guys to donate to. Listen, if you want to hear this beautiful voice for much longer, you're going to have to spend some money. And when I spend, and I say spend some money, I mean give some money, donate to, you know, CKUT. It's an alternative radio. We do our best we can, you know. So let me tell you how you can donate. You can do it by phone at 514-907-9424. You can give it by mail at Radio CKUT 3647 University Street. Pledges can be paid in check, Visa, debit, MasterCard, PayPal. You got it. We have it. Now send the money. We're waiting. Stars.
Yes, get the coins out.
Get the coins. Listen, I want to stay on this radio gig as long as I can.
Interact, girl.
All of it.
You can give it. E-transfer. You can take PayPal too, I'm sure.
Oh, we take everything. Girl. Everything.
You got it. They'll take it.
Exactly. Oh my God, Stars. So like I told you before you came to the show, I told you I was in no mood to do some social justice stuff. You know where?
Oh no, girl.
This is, you know, it's all nice, it's all cute, but the girls have other things to talk about.
I mean, girl, 24/7, the girls be on the computer, right? In their hands, chit-chatting all day long, girl. Well, I can't worry about things happening everywhere else today. Today, I'm worried about things happening right here.
Amen.
In front of me.
Okay. Indeed.
Just today.
Just for today.
Just for one, or maybe for an hour, girl.
Let's do an hour and a half. No, fully. But other than that, what's been up with you? Like, what are you working on right now?
Well, basically, I'm just being a businesswoman.
Yes.
Me and my friend Saturn have a party in LA that we've been doing. It's been really nice. Today was so crazy because I was like in a cafe and I was doing administrative work for like Amarasu, the band.
That's what you posted on your own story. Yeah, I saw.
I was like, I'm doing admin for Amarasu, the band. But I feel like I definitely have to do like, I separate like my band stuff from like Amarasu, the DJ stuff, from like Star Amarasu, like speaking engagements or things that. And then like whatever random other things that happen that sometimes people want me to do multiple things at once. Yeah. But I do try to compartmentalize the different skill sets because it is like different work for each thing.
And it's crazy that you said that because right before coming in, Ryan told me that she knew you from your DJing stuff at Santa's birthday party, but she had no idea of you as a singer and stuff. So, you know, most people, they know you for so many different things.
Right. Well, it's hard to be a Renaissance woman.
Exactly. Listen, you try your best and you do your best.
More of you should try it, but let me not start that.
That's another conversation. But let's go back on your Montreal history because I feel like a lot of people wonder, you know, some people still think you speak... Well, some people know you speak French. Others wonder if you do.
Je ne parle pas français.
Listen,
between you and I. Désolé.
But you have to tell the girls, like, what's your story with Montreal? Like, how did you happen to be here?
Okay.
Tell me.
Oh, my God. It's going to sound so LGBT, but my friend, this white gay boy showed me this movie. This is, like, 2011. Mm-hmm. Les Amours Imaginaires.
Oui, de Xavier Dolan.
I'm a big Xavier Dolan fan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know this is. I know there's our friend Sian is here laughing,
cackling,
because this is a very gay story. But anyway, I saw this movie,
yeah,
and I was like, oh my god, like I want to go, and I'd already thought about it, and mm-hmm. then like a few years later, 2015, that's when I started Amarasu the band, or like the music project, and it's spelled out phonetically A H. Mm-hmm. Merahsu. So I started that project, and the first thing I thought of was like, oh, I want to go to Canada, because mm-hmm. I see in this like other like kind of like more like freak folk queer girl,
yeah,
like
it's a freak city,
come up here and do shows, and like mm-hmm. The Slut Island, yes.
Shout out to Frankie. Folks,
shout out to Frankie, shout out to Sam, mm-hmm. shout out to my I can't say
you can curse girl, I've been cursing since last week.
Yeah. Okay. Well, shout out to my nigga Sam, but not mayor of Montreal, Sam. The other Garantino.
Uh huh.
Mhm.
Yes.
Shout out to her. Anyway, so I got connected to her through other people, and then they helped me find shows, and mm-hmm. so then I came to Montreal for the first time, September 2015.
So it's almost 7 years ago. Okay. Wow. Well, mm-hmm. soon to be 8 years ago now, 2023.
Yeah, it was a while ago. And so then I recorded my first EP in Toronto. Very first EP that only is on Bandcamp now because I took it off of streaming. Okay. And then my second critically acclaimed EP,
yes,
was recorded here in Montreal on that. What's the... it's the station that's on this like own little island, but it's across from St. Henry.
Oh, Île des Sœurs.
It was called Bad Lunch, this place. I played a show there with Huali and November, but I also recorded an EP in this like studio house thing. And that was like, so that's why it's like, you know, I got a little bit of the juice. Yeah, that's what me and Sayana were talking about, how I had to keep coming back to get a little bit of the Montréal juice. La jus de Montréal, ouais? D'accord.
No, because I'm saying, just you talking about Île des Sœurs, I've been in the city for almost 23 years now, and I have yet to go to Île des Sœurs. So you've been around the city more than I have already.
I've been to places. Girl, she's
been around.
The things I've done for trade too, girl. In this city. Oh.
Talking about trade, ladies, the lines are on. So if you want to call any questions for me, Miss Chris, or even Santa, she's on right now, call us and ask us. On that note, let's play a little tracks by the one and only Star. It just got released recently.
Yeah.
And we're back, still with my lovely guest star, Amarasuna Star. It's gonna do some things.
Yes, girl.
We were talking about the trades earlier, and I feel like everybody listening right now, they want to know, first of all, what are the trades in LA giving? What is it giving over there?
Okay, here's my thought. Like, LA trade, the problem with LA is it's the third biggest metropolitan city in the United States. Okay. So, if you, and that's only, like, if you think about Los Angeles area, yeah. But then there's all the surrounding cities. So honestly, there's just like, bitches are a dime a dozen. Like, that's what I think personally. And there's a lot of pretty girls because a lot of people want to be pretty.
Of course.
And as far as like the goals, the majority of like trans girls' experiences there, the majority of them want to be cis passing, or they aspire to have a cis assumed look.
Yeah.
So I feel like there, it's like more difficult to find a man who's actually trying to date you, because there's like literally everywhere you turn, there's like another girl who literally looks like she just walked off of set, because she probably did as an extra, but in the background of a Euphoria episode filmed in Burbank. And so, you know, so that is the tea. And then I think like compared to here, it's just a little different. But I think the girls, I always tell the girls on the West Coast, I say, you know what? If you want to find a husband, you can go to Montreal. Get yourself a husband in Montreal, because the girls be finding husbands.
The girls be finding husbands. But let me tell you one thing about these Montreal niggas. There's a new trend.
Okay.
First of all of them go by he theys.
Well.
Second of all the, listen, because it's a whole situation. They're all polyamorous, because now everybody wants to call themselves polyamorous. But like I tell the girls, I feel like in 2022, polyamorous is, you know, slang for I have a white girl on the side.
Well, actually, it's I have the white girl as the wife, and I have all these other bitches on the side.
That are my lovers, quote-unquote lovers, sure.
Oh, but that's the same around the world, honey.
Right.
And let's talk about that. Well, that's because that's really what it is. This is what I was saying, too, so I feel like at the end of the day, a lot of these guys are going to go for what's the most simple, easy thing. A girl like a T-girl, complicated. There's a lot that goes into being a T-girl. High maintenance. I recently was dating a full-on butch queen, gay man, identified man, who was like, you're the only girl I've ever like been into. He was fucking me down.
Putting it
okay,
down.
Okay, the dick was getting hard. Oh, you give the best head, like, la, 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 la. But at the end of the day, a T-girl is just too complicated for him and his lifestyle. And he even said that to me. He was just like, it's just a lot, like, you're high maintenance or whatever. So I think that that's just the tea. Like, the trade, a lot of these men are always going to go for what's simple and easy. And no shade to white women, but they're simple and easy. Girl, we were watching the Bad Vegan documentary yesterday. How this girl's going to get bamboozled by a man talking about, I'm going to make your dog immortal. Like, white girls are going to believe anything, almost, it seems. So, of course, they're going to go for somebody easy and simple.
I could
versus,
see that.
Like, a complicated bitch.
I could see that, because me and my girls were talking about this, I think, a few weeks ago. And it's crazy to me how, because you touched upon being high maintenance, and I always talk about it. When I step out in this world, I step out in this world for myself, but I step out in this world also for my mother. To show these bitches how I was raised and how, you know, how you get, you know, you put yourself up in the world.
Exactement.
Exactly.
Exactement.
Exactement. But my thing that I'm realizing also is that a lot of men, they seem to have this, it's almost because, you know, Mother L always says there's like this complex of the virgin wife and the two Madonnas, the virgin and the whore.
Mm-hmm.
Men love a good whore. They love a sex symbol. They, you know, like Lil' Kim said, biggest sex symbol since Janet. They love it. But one thing that these men have a trouble with is, first of all, dealing with their insecurities. Because everybody wants a bad bitch up until the bad bitch is seen in public with you. Then now it's an issue if other niggas want to talk to her. It's an issue if other people, you know, are looking at her. It's an issue if she's being too nice, too flirtatious. You know the girl was a flirtatious IG baddie before you got to her. That's how she makes her money. But instead of, you know, dealing with their insecurities, doing the work, in the words of Ayanla, you know, working on themselves, they'd rather just settle down with someone, you know, that is more palatable, someone that is more respectable in their view, in their eyes, someone that I can bring home to mother. But my thing about bringing home that lady to mother is that they're still talking to the girls.
They always will.
They're always will. And to me, it's just, you know, I'm like, something has to give.
I think that the thing is that, well, just like you said earlier, I think there's this big pushback against men. And now, so nobody actually wants to be a man.
Yes.
And while I understand gender is a construct, I think that the idea of somebody, the fact that people could be a man or somebody could be a woman, I think that that is also okay.
Yeah.
And so I would love for us to be able to say that, oh, like, being responsible in your love affairs is also a masculine trait that people should adopt again.
Yes.
And I don't know if people do that as much anymore because they don't want to be a man, because it is bad to be, it's perceived as being bad to be a man in our society in a lot of ways, because there's, you know, men are fucked up.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a man. No, that's fucked up. I'm not a man. Oh, honey, don't call me a man. No. That's what these guys say, you know, and I was like, fine. But they need to get it together, honestly, is really the thing, is get it together.
I see it. And it's funny because I always, you know, I always tell Santa that one little saying. I call it nigga ways. You know, a lot of people, they, like you said, gender is a construct and everybody is, you know, can decide whatever gender they feel like acknowledging for themselves and being representing as. But my thing is, if you move in the world as a nigga, and you have some strong nigga ways about you that I cannot shake, if you're able to walk in the gym locker and nobody's looked at you funny, if you're able to walk in a bar, talk to the niggas at the store, and everything is good, then where does it, you know, where does it end? Because on top of you not wanting to call yourself a man but still acting with nigga ways and still being able to move around the world perfectly fine, you are having sex with AFAB presenting or AFAB people. Not even, you know, trans mask people. Not, you know, you're strictly having sex with AFAB people. Now, my thing is, I fully understand that your partner matched me, you know, my debut AFAB. They still identify as a non-binary person. But let's call a spade a spade. Because I know you wouldn't be fucking with an AFAB person if that person had a beard.
Right.
But like you said, nobody wants to be a man.
They don't want to be a man. But also, too, it's like, it's like bad to be a girl too. I don't know. It's something I understand. Is. It's like the girls don't. Here's the thing. I'm a sissy cunt and I'm a girl, and that's just the end of it. That's what it gives. Yeah, and I'm like, at the end of the day, like, I cannot code switch, and I think that is the thing. Is really what it boils down to, is that it's actually a privilege to be able to code switch in that way, and to be okay. Like, because I've seen the argument of some people being like, well, like, this is just my, for my safety, Lola. And I'm like, well, I personally could never have done that. I was like, always, we were always going to think that I was a sissy regardless of what I was doing.
There was no secrecy. There was no secret.
I couldn't, since I was 7 years old. Like,
exactly.
It's impossible. And I think like that's the reality, you know, that people kind of don't want to talk about, but it's just the tea. What I want to ask you.
Go ahead.
Is, you know, as somebody that is working and you have a public platform and you're growing, have you noticed the Miley Cyrus Hannah Montana complex that the trade has, which I've recently encountered, where they love Hannah Montana but do they love Miley
all the time?
They love Miss Chris but do they actually love, you know, Miss Chris Marlowe, the doors, you know, behind the closed door? What's the tea?
I fully, and I'm happy you're asking me that question, because it's a bit of on both sides, because you have niggas that only want me when I look like a twink. Because one thing about me is I'm going to be fine regardless. I'm going to be sexy as a girl, and I'm going to be sexy as a twink. An emphasis on twink. I don't give men. One thing about me is you can't call me a man. I don't look like one. I don't give men. It's not, you know, it's not in my energy. So you have niggas that like me as a twink. You have niggas that like me as a girl. But the thing about a lot of these men is I started being very much, it's giving almost, you know, it's, It's giving rude. I'm quite rude. You know, Santa knows me. I can be quite rude to man. You know, I'm known to not answer when you talk to me. But my thing is, there used to be a time where I would feel so validated by these traits that only were seeking me as a girl, right? I'd be like, oh, he finds me pretty, he validates me and anything. Up until I realized these niggas only want you as a girl when you have lingerie, a pink wig on, and you're ready to top them wearing God knows what on you. You know, it's all part of a big fetish. And then you have the niggas that like me as a boy. You know, I can't take you seriously. Because you come talk to me at the coffee shop, you know, you want to get my number and all. Are you going to have that same energy when I show up the next day with a pink wig? Are you going to? Because I will show up the next day with a pink wig if I feel like it.
Okay, shit. But what about the ones that like you? I mean, I mean, as a performer.
As a performer?
You know what I'm saying? They like the performer, yeah. But do they like you yourself? Like, have you encountered that where people are into, they're like, oh, they want to be around you for the art, and they might turn it into a sexual thing. Yeah. And then when they really get to know you, what happens?
I feel like I haven't, most people, for some reason, when it comes to the performing aspects, they seem to be shy or nervous, which to me, and I feel like you'll relate to that, I've always said, people are always nervous when a dark-skinned bitch is confident.
Yes.
Had I been a light-skinned woman, nobody would be nervous, and everybody would come, you know, they'd be coming to me, talking to me as if I grew up with them. But when you're a dark-skinned person, you're fully confident, especially a dark-skinned woman. People that come to me, and I always use that example, it's like they see a fixture on the wall. Like, they're afraid of touching. They're afraid of, you know, they get nervous. They get like, oh, my God, Miss Chris. Oh, my God, Miss Chris. Oh, my God, Miss Chris. And like, girl, I am struggling just as hard as you are. I might be on the radio. You might see me on TV. You might see me on the magazines every once in a while. But, honey, I'm not Beyonce yet. You can talk to me as a human being. And me and my friend Grips were talking about, because, once again, colorism plays a big part. And I feel like maybe in, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, because I already start seeing the difference with the radio show. Like, people, they... Some people that, you know, they come to me in the club or outside and like, oh, you know, we've been knowing each other for so long. We need to follow each other now. And I'm like, girl, you've been knowing me for 6 years, but now I have a radio show. You need to follow me. You need me to follow you now that I have a radio show. How about last year? How about the year before?
Don't get me started on that.
Girl. You know, I'm like,
when the girls would be like, can you follow me back? I'd be like, first of all, I wish I could show them my phone. And I do some, this is my new thing these days, because also, first of all, it's a scam. Like, internet culture is a scam. And the fact that you don't need, I don't need people to follow me that I follow. What? I follow the things that I want to see.
Exactly.
And then I follow the people that I need to network with sometimes.
And out of respect also sometimes.
But also, I want to network with them because I like them. Or I like what they do.
There, because you know,
or I know that they're work.
Exactly.
So like, why? Because honestly, the thing is, I wish it wasn't such a taboo. I would love, love, love to unfollow like maybe thousands people because I find their shit annoying. Honestly, frankly, everybody is very annoying. And I don't know if what kind of cognitive dissonance people don't have to understand that they are fucking annoying as fuck. I know that I'm annoying and I think it's funny. I'm annoying on purpose even. I might even be extra annoying.
It's part of the charm.
Like I might be more annoying online than I am actually in real life. I'm actually probably more reserved in real life.
Yeah.
Because it is a performance.
But one thing about you though is that you keep the same energy you have online than you have in person.
You think so?
I do.
Oh,
I do.
Thank you.
I've seen you and I've seen it. And people have seen it for themselves too. Because I can compare it to some people, for example, they have a whole social media personality thing going on, but when you meet them in person, it's one thing that your energy is not matching, but it's another thing if when I meet you in person I'm disgusted, because I'm like, baby girl, what you're selling is not what I'm getting.
Like, as in like filters and
not even that, you know I love a good
catfish tease.
Not even just personality, catfish wise.
Oh, personality.
Personality catfish.
Oh, personality.
People have a lot of personality online.
Les chats poisson, you know? I don't know how to say it.
Poisson chat. Exactly, catfish muscle shot. Notice people, they be catfishing personality. And my thing is, because like you said, everybody, a lot of people don't realize that they're annoying, and that's because we live in a society where the main character syndrome is in full throttle.
I don't want to be main character.
Well, I can understand that sometimes it's good to be, like you said, an extra, you know, just on the side.
I am the supporting character's
that too.
Mom. with big titties who is having fun and is offering them a drink in the house.
Giving Jennifer Coolidge almost.
Yeah. I'm the mom in Mean Girls. Yes. I'm literally, what's her name from Parks and Rec?
Wasn't she a Tina Fey? No, that's the other one.
Amy Poehler. Yes, I'm basically an Amy Poehler type. And I'm very okay with that. Why would I want to be the girl? I don't want to be Rue on the ground crying, nose dribbling girl on drugs.
You talking about main character makes me makes me think of this other thing about the girl next door thing. How do you feel about the girl next door trope?
I mean, I am the girl next door.
You relate to that?
I am the girl next door who grew up and now got her boobs done. And, you know, sucked a few dicks.
She took her shit out of town.
She sucked a few dicks, sold a little bit of cat. And now she's living her life, girl. She was working hard. That's also the thing. Because they were going off about Kim.
Yeah.
I was like, did you guys, not everybody's like, oh, Kim, you didn't work. Blah, blah. I'm like, bitch, she sold the cat. For that whole family, and y'all are really gonna dog her and say she didn't work? That was work.
She might have sold the cab, but one thing also, let's not forget that the starting fund was from Brandy's money.
Well,
she stole that money from Brandy's mother. That was the starting fund. Mother? Brandy's mother, Brandy Norwood, honey.
Oh,
you didn't know?
No.
I'll put you on that video. Oh yes, I'll put you on that Sloan video. She stole $126K.
Chris?
Yeah, no, Kim.
Kim.
She stole it and spent it on that Dash store. And what I'm saying is the truth.
Right, because through Ray J.
Exactly.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, that is the thing.
It's a sort of work, I guess.
It was the seed money.
Yeah.
Because honestly, they need to be real, like, about, like, people don't understand. It's like, girl, after the whole fucking thing and the dad died and all that and OJ and all that, they weren't like rich. That's why Chris had to go. That's why first Chris was the original cat seller.
Chris was the original cat seller.
She had to go move from, she says, you know what? This nigga's gone. I got all these damn kids. Hold up. Here go Miss Olympian right there. She found herself her white trans being. Got her. Bam. She said she knew. Oh, and first of all, she already knew that the bitch was cross-dressing on the side. So let's talk about that. Kris Jenner is not that dumb. She already knew. So, you know, she saw, she said, okay, whatever. Got that coin, whatever. So it's not like Kim was poor, but Kim, they weren't famous until Kim was like working as Paris's, first she was Paris's assistant. Because if you watch The Simple Life, in that first season, it's like, this is my assistant, Kim. Mm-hmm. And Kim's in an episode, and then Kim was out there in the streets. She would call the paparazzi. She was working. So I don't know.
She definitely
I
worked.
Do think.
Because people don't give her enough credit. Sorry,
they don't
you.
Give her credit. I think it's annoying for people to discredit everything she did just because she got a seed money. Because I'm like, most of you are not looking at your friends next to you. Because some of these girls have trust funds too. And some of these girls at the club have trust funds, girl.
Listen.
And you're not. Are you giving them the work? And they're lazy as fuck. That's the thing. It's like, the girl has a trust fund, but does she not have a work ethic too? I think there is something to having work ethic regardless of what money you started with.
Of course.
The girls need to work. Sorry, I just talked a lot.
No, but you brought up several points. Like, people not giving Kim K her credit, you know, that talks a lot about, first of all, how do people look at a woman? Because that's so funny. I have a medical conference coming up soon, right? And I was checking out the space today, and me and the doc that I'm working with, shout out to Nathalie Gaucher, Dr. Nathalie, hey. So me and Natalie were talking, and it was just funny how, because of the performance I'm going to be doing, I'm touching upon dressing to be fitting in society, right? And for her as a cis white woman, we talked upon it and stuff. And she was telling me, they'll treat you differently in the hospital based on what kind of scrubs you're wearing. Oh, that killed me. That killed me. She told me basically, because of COVID, now doctors have to, you know, they have to change a lot more often, right? And some of her doctor friends, they're showing up in these nice, fancy, expensive scrubs and everything. Natalie's a girl like me, you know, she's pretty chill. She's like, I mean, a girl like me. I'd show up in a Gucci scrub if I could. But she's more in a, I'm at work, I'm chilling, I don't mind my business. So she has those old school, almost not run down, but, you know, very old school kind of scrubs. And because of that, most people think that she's a young intern. And she told me the way they say hi to her because of the mask is different up until they realize. So I'm like, so that tells you everything. People treat women, first of all, women differently based on the way that they're dressed. Based on the way that they're presenting themselves in the workplace. And there's a lot to be said about the way people are coming at Kim K for, you know, having a video of her out when one thing that I always say when it comes to sex work, people love to act as if they don't know anything about sex work.
Right.
But I'm always telling them, first of all, you had no idea what your mother was doing before you came into this world.
Exactly.
Sex work is way more prevalent than people like to admit.
Mm-hmm.
And people like to, you know, think of sex work as somebody on the corner of St. Catherine waiting for, you know, for a car. Their girls have websites. Their girls have apps. Their girls are going on dates, getting a $300 check, and they don't call it sex work. They say, I went on a date.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I went on a date. He just gave me some money. You know, he's nice. He takes care of me. He cares for what I do. You know, they don't want to say it's sex work.
With the tone.
Nice. He's nice.
You know? Oh, no, he's just a nice guy.
He's a really nice guy. Like, he gets me.
He sent me like $150 to get my nails done. I don't know why. I just want to date with him. Nothing crazy.
But they don't want to talk about it as sex work because they know how society views, especially women. And that's no secret.
Girl, it's the oldest job in the world.
I always say the Bible. Who said that first? T.S. Madison. The Bible is full of whores.
Exactly.
Thieves and whores. No, I don't know for thieves. I'm not going to speak for thieves. That's my
thing. I'm not going to speak for thieves either. It's not my thing. You know,
I've never been thieving.
But I don't judge the girls that do. Robin Hood, you know? Robin Hood was robbing from the rich and giving to the poor. And that's cute to me. I like that as mm-hmm. a vibe.
Fully.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, I'm happy that you brought on Kim K. That made me think.
Sorry, I had to say that because it all connected to me in my mind.
Listen, she's a hot topic. You're the hot topic. She's a hot topic right now as well. Mm-hmm. It has to be connected somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, do we have any callers? I feel like you guys aren't calling up enough. You know, we're here. Star is coming all the way from LA. Give the girl a call. On that note, about Outrageous this weekend, can you tell us, what are you going to do? Are you DJing or performing? What's up?
I'm going to sing like 3 songs.
Mm.
And one of my confidants is with me, my bandmate, Josh.
Okay.
He plays saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to play saxophone. And I'm going to do like my like dancey songs. I have some house songs
and stuff.
So, and we made like a new song called Vagina that I made. I made the beat with him. Yeah. And like we're going to like do a freestyle jazz.
Okay.
Like with the like techno house. Yeah. Well, actually it is a deep house song.
Okay. And that's gonna be Outrageous. Okay.
Yes, it's going to.
Which I'm like, kinda wait, I'm already a host. You know, Santa's gonna be DJing, so the girls are gonna be there. But it's gonna be a takeover also, because you know it's the first time that we take Unity. It's the first Outrageous in Unity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about time that the girls start partying and, you know, something else and abandoned houses and such. It was bound to happen.
Yeah. I came to visit in like September.
Mm-hmm.
Girl, they was doing it. It was like some dirty ass church. I said, oh no, child. Well, I was like, I'm not going through. I'm not going to go
that
in
church.
There.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it got canceled or anything.
No, I remember that story. I didn't go as well because, you know, one thing about me is I tend to stay away from the cops.
Yeah, girl, what? I'm not trying to do all that.
I like a good Law and Order SVU. I like a good The Closer CSI, but art doesn't have to imitate life when it comes to my narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And ours, so I'm super fucking excited for Unity this weekend. And then, I don't know. It's just because you've been partying in Montreal over the years. So you've seen the scenes, the spaces and stuff.
I've seen some spaces. Yeah. I've been to different places. I feel like there was a time where like every event was at like Bar La Ritz.
Oh,
every damn thing was at Bar motherfucking La Ritz. No shade to Bar La Ritz. Shout out to Bar La Ritz. You a real one.
Honestly, my first queer event was at
Bar La Ritz.
Shout out
to Bar La Ritz. Yeah, you a real one. But every single thing was there for like a while.
A community garden almost.
Yeah, which is cute. A staple. It's a staple in the LGBT community of Montreal. We love that. But it's nice. I'm seeing like all these different places and things.
Yeah.
Different vibes. I love a good vibe.
As we all doing about vibes, I'm feeling a bit 90s. Let's take it back to 702 for y'all 1 second. And we'll be right back after the break.
Yeah.
No Doubt by 702. Now we're back with the one and only star, Amirasu. My friend Sana on the side. She might be joining us on the mic. Sana, say hi.
Hello, everyone. What's up? It's Sayana on air right now. Yeah. And shout out to Chris for this radio show. You're great.
Oh, thank you, baby. All right. So earlier we talked about trade, and that made me want to, that made me realize one thing. Because we talked about the trade in LA, we talked about the trade in Montreal. But my thing is, when we talk about trade, first of all, we're going to have to get, some definitions straight up. Technically, a trade is a nigga. A trade is a black man.
Okay, actually, can I run it back to the real?
go ahead.
Okay, the actual original definition of trade is men who are also involved in the sex trade. That was how it was in New York when it first started. Trade was men who were trading sex also. Oh. So the girls would be with the trade because they were trading sex with men for money, but they weren't gay. That's the original.
Was it a duo too? Like a duo thing?
No, it was like, so they are trade. Yeah. Because they are trading sex as well. So they're sex workers at the time. So New York, like 60s. So it's like the and 50s. Like that's the back. That's the original term for the trade, was the guys that were also trading sex. Yeah. And so also sometimes too, they would be like, they would like be with the girls because they like the dolls always. And so they'd be with, and when I say the girls, I mean transgender girls, because I feel like everybody wants to be the girls. Everybody wants to be the dolls. And I'm like, not everybody's the girls, not everybody's the dolls. I'm talking about the transgender communities. Transsexual, actually, honestly, technically too, I'm a transsexual. That's my definition of myself. Anyway, so that was the original.
Thank you. I didn't know
that, but honestly, the community that started that was the black community of people in New York, the ballroom scene.
Yeah.
But that's the original. Now I feel like it's boiled down, watered down. Everything's trade. You know, any person that's masked is trade, apparently. But
anybody that goes by he.
I'll let y'all take it anyway. Sorry. I just had to say that.
But talking about the trades and the he theys, the he hims, and the he huh. My thing is, now, you said that Montreal is the place, often where the girls can come and get a husband and everything. Does that work for a black man? Because I'm like, I have yet to find... Because, the white boys, they be out here.
Well...
The white boys, they be offset. Especially in the summertime.
I like a little white schmeat.
I love a good white... I love a white... Let me not say this too much. Listen, they'll come at us like Ligue des Noirs is going to come after us, honey.
But, I like a little white man. Why not? I'll rub up against a white piece.
Down with the swirl and all. But when it comes to Montreal, though, like your experience... when it comes to your experience with black men and white men in Montreal, though...
Well, I've had it all.
Tell me. What can you say?
I got... Last time I was here, I got taken on a date.
Yeah.
By a Senegalese man. That was nice. Taken on a date by a white, Jewish white man. And that was the last time I was here. And I think I went on one more date with a white man. But everyone's looking at me, but I didn't have sex with all of these people. I just went on a date.
And what if you did?
Well, I'm just letting you girls know that I did it. just let the record see it.
Okay, I get that. I mean, dates, niggas will take you on dates here. That's one thing.
I love that. I love a date.
I love a date too, but then again...
Well?
Because there's only so many times I can go on a date, you know? Like, how many times are you going to ask me out till you actually tell me something serious? Because my thing is... It's all fun and games, right? We can go have a bar.
What do you mean by serious?
As in, if I'm seeing you every weekend, we're always going out doing something, that's cute and all. But after a few months, what are we? Companions?
Right.
Because I'm like, I'm seeing you every weekend. Yeah. Now, at some point, I'm starting to think that you just like seeing me.
Well, yeah.
Because if you really wanted to be, after a few months, you would have been like, yo, girl, what's going on? I'm not saying we should get in a full relationship, but, because that's the thing with polyamory. Everybody uses polyamory to have sex. So they'll fuck you every weekend. They'll take you out every weekend if that means I'll get some pussy.
I don't do that.
No. See, but it makes me think of that video. This girl was like, no, listen, this girl posted on TikTok a screenshot of a guy saying, you can just come over, we can chill, we can smoke, see the vibes. And she was like, see the what?
Exactly.
Sir, thank you. Anyways, and I felt her because I'm like, there's only so many vibes I can feel and see in 2022. I've seen enough vibes.
But don't you feel like in a couple years, I feel like in a couple years, polyamory is going to be less in fashion.
Yeah.
And people are going to start going back to monogamy.
Hopefully, Lord, maybe. Please.
Please.
If you are listening, oh, Lord.
But please. You know, polyamory is good if it's done correctly, I feel like.
Exactly.
Because some guys really cannot, like, stop themselves from, like, going to other girls.
They can't.
Or, like, vibe, like, gays or whatever. Yeah.
Like, what do you think feels worse? When you found out that you were cheated on, or when you had to reassess your boundaries with your polyamorous partner for 3 hours talking about you hooked up with somebody and I don't like this person. Yeah. Like, what's worse? Would you rather just be like, okay, the band-aid's ripped off? Mm. Or then you got to really have some kind of deep, long process. I'm sick of processing.
Well, I wouldn't be in your situation, honey, because... First off the bat, when I start dating someone, it's no polyamory up in here. I'm sorry.
She said none of that.
Don't share.
No, I'm open to open relationships.
What's the difference?
The difference is I don't not want you to have an emotional connection with someone else. It's not I don't want you. It's actually just like I'm very monogamous. If I like you, I don't want to go anywhere else. And if I'm like that, it just makes sense that I'm with someone that's like that. But I don't mind, like, open relationships. I get that sex sometimes, like, I might not want to do something, so you need to get it somewhere. Mm-hmm. Listen, go ahead, but I don't want to hear that you're in this bitch bed, like, every week.
Well, see, you have a great understanding of the difference, because a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
A lot of people,
they think it's the same thing.
They think it's the same thing. That's why they be moving funny. I'm like, you don't tell your partner that you're out here on a date with this person that you've been going on dates with for 3 months. Now, all of a sudden, she found out through somebody else that you're at this Columbus cafe, cackling, drinking from the same cup. Now, she looks crazy because she's out here saying, oh, we're just open, you know, it's just sex. That's my man. Now, she looks crazy and you look dumb. And a lot of people, they do this willingly and knowingly because they know that a lot of people, they just jump into polyamory. Like Sana said, it's a trend. They jump into it. There's no boundaries that are set prior. They don't understand the full... everything that entails with being a polyamorous person. And then they get their heart broken. They get sad and everything. And I'm just like, it's not for everyone. And I just want people to understand that it's okay to fuck around and it's okay to have as much sex as you want. Stop using big words and, you know, identities and all this academia shit to justify that you just want
to
fuck around.
You like to slang the dick.
I have about two boyfriends, though.
That's cute. I'm fully polyamorous. Like, are you polyamorous, like, emotion-wise?
I could have about two boyfriends.
Could he have?
Can he have two? Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
can he have two girlfriends? Could he have two girlfriends?
I could have about two boyfriends. I don't know about. I mean, here's the thing. Yeah. Ideally, my fantasy is that I'm in a triad. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, that's hot. Okay, I love that.
Hear me out. It's okay. It's me and two bisexual men who love each other and also love me, and I'm obviously. The, you know, mom, you know, like womb carrier, like whatever, even though I don't have a womb, I'm barren. I do have a vaginal canal, so we can keep trying.
Yes.
Maybe one day through hope and prayer.
God and prayer, exactly.
Through hope and prayer, I might develop a womb. But you know what I mean? Like, I would love that. They fuck each other. I'll watch. Then they'll bring me in. Sometimes, you know, if I'm not feeling it, because sometimes I do feel a little asexual randomly. Sometimes I just am like, I don't really want to fuck. But I'll watch you. Go ahead. You have each other. But I love the cuddle.
You would want to have two guys beside you, like
Or they could be. I could be on the outside, and they're together, but they love me too.
Yeah.
That's the thing. I feel like a lot of polyamorous stuff that sometimes becomes unequal when you start saying my primary, my secondary, la la la. I'm like,
I've been there. You know, I've been there, and I want to tell all the girls and the boys and the non-beanies and whatsoever that are listening. If that person's telling you primary, honey, you better run.
Yeah.
Primary means there's not going to be any secondary. You run. You run. Because one thing you're not about to settle with is being the option number two. Because I've done that mistake. You know, you think, oh, it's okay because he values my time. He likes me for who I am. And, you know, he likes spending time with me. It's just that he's artistic. Girl, that nigga don't know if you like spending time with you. Indeed, he likes spending time inside of you, perhaps. But he does not want to claim you as a as a girlfriend or a boyfriend.
Say it again.
He does not want to claim you as a boyfriend, girlfriend, or primary, whatever. He wouldn't even claim you as a roommate.
He want to spend time inside you, child.
And I've been there.
Or you inside him, girl.
The other way around.
These days.
I have a question for you. So as you're not technically polyamorous, but I guess I would kind of put you in that category and you're fully polyamorous. Yeah. So, because my thing is, if you agree to be polyamorous, you can't be mad when the other person finds someone.
Of course.
It has to be like, you can't be mad, you can't be jealous. It's
part of the game, yeah.
So what is like kind of like, not the rules, but like what makes you a good polyamorous person, and how do you like keep your cool? Like how do you manage like these emotions? It's just natural, or like how? Like, because
I think part of it is natural. Second of it is transparency. You know me, I'm a straight shooter, pow pow. I'll tell you when you got me fucked up. I'll tell you.
And what is that? What is that? Like, how can you fuck up as a polyamorous person?
Transparency. Because like I said, my thing is people know. They want to act when it comes to relationship and the way they deal with stuff and when it gets messy, right? There's always one party that wants to act like, oh, I did not know. You know, I wasn't aware. Like, I didn't realize it would hurt you that much. And my thing is, you knew them well. Because like my friend Monib, you know, she always says, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is to ask for permission. And it's a fact.
Period.
It's a fact. And everybody can relate. I'm sure, you know, you have sisters, siblings, roommates. You go inside the fridge. You see a nice piece of cake. You know you're out to be texting them first. Like, oh, it's just a piece of cake. Let me have some. I'll tell her sorry when she comes home. And that's the same thing with cheating. And that's the same thing with not being transparent. People know what they're doing. They're playing around. And I'm saying this because I've been in a situation recently with somebody where I had to come in on terms. And the person was like, you know, I didn't realize at the time. But my thing is, you didn't realize at the time. When did you? Because I had to be the one chasing you for an answer. You didn't value me enough to give me that answer. So that means you knew what you were doing.
Well.
And that's my thing with transparency. You can't play me. Because the thing, a lot of these girls, they get in polyamorous relationship and they're not ready for it. You have to play your cards right. You can't just let these niggas walk all over you.
Right.
You get in these relationships with different people, different this, different that, because you think you're so progressive. Now you're in your bed crying, listening to Brandy. Does that make sense? And that's
these
why...
In this case, with these girls out here, it's Charlie, you know? XCX, child. They ain't listening to no Brandy. These girls don't even know who Brandy is, girl.
Honestly.
I'm dead.
So to answer your question, Santa, I would say definitely transparency is where you can get me fucked up, where you can cross me. But the way it comes to me and how what makes me a good polyamorous person is just self-awareness, especially when it comes to emotion, because I always say feelings are not to be explained. They're not to be, you know, you cannot quantify love. You cannot quantify feelings. It comes and it goes. There's no reason behind it. What you have to understand is when you decide to get in a polyamorous relationship, you knew that there was a possibility that the person was to meet somebody else.
Ooh, that is a gem.
It's still shaking me in my bones. Oh my God.
I know, I felt that one.
Oh. You know, I try my best.
A tear?
No, literally, I'm like literally thinking if like my partner comes home telling me like they have a second, like I'm no, like, sir.
That's what I say, because that's
good. But it's really good. I feel like I look up to polyamorous people because I do feel like heteronormativity and like whatever, like we're so stuck up on like that one primary partner, like that long lasting love. Yeah. And I'm young, so I think I'm still the fuck. I'm like, I have my delusions in my head. I know I have delusions, but I'm still like, I'm like, wow, like y'all can really just like be like, you know, going around like, and well, not going around, but like finding love multiple places.
Fully. I mean, and one thing that people don't understand also, and thank you for saying love, because a lot of people don't understand that polyamorous doesn't mean that person is actually having sex with other people. I know some polyamorous people that are asexual, believe it. They just like being, you know, they just like intimacy when it comes to emotions. And that's another thing. You can't be in a polyamorous relationship if you're not self-aware of your own emotions. People be jealous. They be this, they be that. They can't even put the right words on how they feel. Now you're using your partner as a therapist. And you're surprised when the dick turns out into a relationship with somebody else.
Right.
You have to be self-aware. You have to know yourself. You have to know. You can't be. Polyamorous is not for the weak. It's not for the weak. And I've seen too many girls get their heart. And, they, you know, they want to call it polyamory, but I don't have the heart to tell them, God, that wasn't polyamory. He don't even claim you. The man girl don't know about you.
He's poly. In his mind.
She was monogamous and you were somewhere else in Taiwan. You were not around.
Yo, by the way, can I ask y'all a question? Because yesterday she mentioned something, Star, and she was like, as a trans girl, and you're gonna relate to like how many partners of y'all are gonna transition, and it's like totally off topic. And I was like, oh my God. And you've mentioned before, mm-hmm. do you want to fuck me or do you want to be me? And I was like,
Well, in my case, they mostly just want to be me, I'm realizing. But it's fine.
Everybody wants to be
me. I understand. I make it look fun.
I understand.
I make it look fun.
Yes.
Having sex with me is fun, if you're listening.
You know, just putting
like,
it out
it's
there.
It's fun. Like, I get it. But at the same time, it's so interesting.
Yeah.
I've had recently, they're probably not listening. So anyway, I was just in a South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. Mm. And this girl who I had seen in the community of the Bay Area a bunch of times around since I moved to the Bay, San Francisco Bay Area in 2011.
Yeah.
So I seen her starting around 2015 or something out and about when I was in Oakland and stuff. So I just seen this girl. It's 2022 now. This girl come up to me. She's like, I was like, oh, hey, whatever. Like, I never really tried to connect with her. We actually were hanging out one-on-one now, getting drinks together for the first time in years, but we've seen each other around. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, can I ask you something? Like, can I ask you something? I know it's kind of whatever. I was like, girl, I'm not PC. Ask me whatever the fuck you want, bitch.
Let's get to it.
She goes, so, did you do this thing on Craigslist and have sex? Did you have this group sex situation on Craigslist with a guy? You're dating a trans man, all that. And I was like, oh, bitch. Yeah. She's like, that was me. I was the guy. I was like,
shut up.
Bitch, face crack. I was like, what? I screamed. I was oh my God.
And you didn't even recognize her at the moment.
Well, no, of course. She looks like a whole different, she's a whole different bitch. Yeah. But I was like, oh, that's carrying. Like, that is very carrying because it was 2013.
Right.
Me and my boyfriends, this trans man, at the time, were, finding ourselves, let's bring a little third in, have a little little cundle in the side, on the side. what did Azalea say?
What did she say? I don't remember.
From Fuck 'Em All Night. I forgot the lyrics.
Oh, no, yeah.
Anyway, so we could call ourselves having a little, menage a trois, whatever. Mm. Really turned into a menage a four because my butch queen, I don't know. I feel like you girls, people don't know anything. I realize that I say a lot of stuff. People have no idea what the fuck I'm talking about. Butch queen, gay man. Anyway, so my gay man friend is sitting on the ground jacking off while I'm getting fucked by this this girl. Mm-hmm. But at the time she was giving very much smelly straight boy fucking me. In my pussy hole. And mind you, it was a fresh pussy. I just got my pussy done that April. This was probably the winter of the same year. Yeah. So it was a very fresh, raw, fresh pussy.
Raw, boom, boom.
I'm getting filleted by her by this boy, right? Mm-hmm. And then I'm eating my boyfriend out. And that was the whole story. And I'm gag.
And now you're having drinks, kikiing.
Oh, we didn't really kiki after because we kind of... Anyway, so she left. And, I was this guy, how many years later? Almost 10 years later. It's 9 years ago. I'm like, oh, bitch, that was you.
It's a gag.
Yeah, it happens a lot, though.
It does.
I think that's a thing. I don't know. I'm not mad about it. I think it is interesting, though. If you're, listening and you... want to fuck trans girls maybe or trans non-binary people, maybe you should also think about, is this some, do you actually want to just fuck these people or do you want to be these people? And if you're trying to fuck them to live through them, I think it's you could do both, but you could also just live your truth quicker without needing to necessarily go through other people.
Yeah. I'm live your truth, do yourself, do you, because exactly. I've had people that have come to me, I've had sex with, well, actually 1%, I've had sex with them, and then it was can you give me resources for hormones? And I was yeah, I'll give you all the resources, babes, but it's done. We not fucking no more.
Because that shit kills me.
Because I'm not a lesbian.
Right.
There's that.
And I respect you as a trans girl say that.
And not I'm the thing, them. Not to say that girl fucking me made her trans. I'm just saying I've had situations with other people where it wasn't even a group. So it was I went on dates with this person, and they were identifying as a boy. And then we hooked up a few, and then I just kind of like pulled back. I was like, I'm not really into it, whatever. And then I'm always finding out later that these folks start transitioning later. And I'm like, how interesting. I would have, because I could be a little gay. I dated a trans girl. So I'm very T for T. And I think, honestly, I probably would have liked them more as a girl than I would, you know, in these situations with them as their personalities. Because their personalities as girls are honestly better than the personalities that they had when they identified as boys. So.
No, I get that. Oh, girls, on that note, I guess we have to wrap up, but...
Oh, the show's over?
Baby, it's only an hour. They only give me an hour here.
Oh, la la.
But listen, everybody, like I said earlier, there's a big fundraiser going on for CKUT. Every information is on the website. You can call, you can email, you can send money. Give money to your local station so you can hear my voice for longer than ever. And on that note, I'll see you next week. Bye.
Yeah, I was just going to say, listen to Fully Charged podcast by Saturn and Star Amorasu on all those podcast platforms if you want to hear her speak more.
Well, yeah, so by the way, do you have anything you want to promote? Like any stuff that's new online?
Oh, no, no, no. No? I have an Instagram, but I have fans, so I don't really need new ones. You I honestly don't really care.
On that note, everybody, I'll see you next week, or I'll see you at Outrageous this weekend with the lovely Star Amorasu. Bye.
Okay,
I am Brother Clifford Dalphy for the annual funding drive. I am donating $50. I am challenging all the business, the promoter, and the producer, and all those who bring their flyers to CKUT to promote their event to match my offer of $50. Sowing the seed of grassroots change for CKUT 90.3 FM. I give you thanks.
Montréal, vous écoutez Laisse vos sons avec Nathalie DiPalma sur les ondes de CKUT 90.3 FM.
Bonsoir et merci d'être à l'écoute. Ce soir, nous recevons deux femmes entrepreneurs passionnées par leur métier, Mary G. Modeste, propriétaire du service de traiteur Opulence Montréal, et Hélène Polanski, propriétaire du restaurant Maestro, s'il vous plaît, qui fête ses 30 ans cette année. Cette émission est diffusée dans le cadre de la levée de fonds annuelle de sécurité qui se poursuivra jusqu'au 27 mars. Cette année, le thème de la collecte est « Jusqu'à l'infini, CQT to infinity » et le but est d'atteindre 35 000 $ afin de pourvoir